Greetings to each one of you here in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you for those thoughts there, Brother Joe. Some aspects of this is what's laid on my heart, too, here, maybe in a different form, so very much challenged by these words here. The cost of discipleship. There must be a cost. The Bible says, you're not your own, but was bought with a price. And I too was thinking about, okay, so we say we're saved. The question that sometimes is asked is what have you been saved from? So if salvation is just something that's attached to our lives and we continue living the way we were, continue doing the things that we were, the question is, has there been life transformed, or is it just a little bit of restoration that went on? I think these are some thoughts that we need to ponder deeply in our hearts. What did I lose? Or what am I losing? I think it's an ongoing thing that we continue to lay our lives down, that God could be all in all. I've asked this thing to myself. Joe asked it. I'm not sure if he asked these words, said it in these words, but how is my life different? How is my life different? Is my life any different now when I say I'm converted? How is my life different than if I had not been converted? Leave that. I think we'll touch on it a bit as we share what the Lord has laid on my heart. There's nothing new under the sun, so it'll just be a reiteration of some of the other things that's been preached and spoken, so it is just from the Bible. The title of the message this morning, we'll just go right into it. I'd like to have a prayer here at the onset. But the kingdom of heaven, you know, the kingdom of heaven is a pretty general title. And it encompasses a lot of things in that. So you could go a lot of different ways under that heading. But that's where we are at this morning. So let's pray. Maybe we could rise. Father, we're very grateful for this opportunity this morning to be here. Come in your presence. There's much joy there. There's much reality and love that we experience at your hand. And we thank you and bless you for the words that have come thus far already and the worship that's been here singing the songs of Zion. Lord, these things are an encouragement to our souls, to our lives. Lord, we want to display your glory. We want to display more of your person, your being here on earth. And I pray that our lives would demonstrate the power of the gospel and the reality of your kingdom here on earth. So Lord, we just ask that you would continue to inspire us, speak to us, and stir in our hearts, that these things would truly be a reality. And it wouldn't just be a, as the words were used, a restoration process, but that'd be a total transformation of life subjected to your will and purpose. totally, oh Father. How must this look like? How can this be, oh Lord? How can this be? How can your ways be seen through each one of us as individuals more perfectly? We pray that you continue to do your work. May your Holy Spirit bear witness here in this meeting. So we turn this over to you, God. Bless our time here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, what is in our hearts is the kingdom of heaven, as has been stated. And so I don't know what goes through your minds when you hear the words, the kingdom of heaven. Maybe this morning we could start in front here, in the front row, and just go around and ask, you know, what comes to your mind when we talk about the kingdom of heaven? Or when the kingdom of heaven is stated, what do you think about? I think we could get a lot of insight from all of you about how you view the kingdom of heaven or what you think about when you hear this phrase. I think we would all benefit from that. One person has a hard time encapsulating the entirety of the subject and can't think of all the verses and the different aspects that pertain to it. So we'll give a little few crumbs here that we have and trust that you would be edified and God would give His increase and be glorified. So this phrase is used in different ways in Scripture. We have the kingdom of heaven. It looks like in my searches, this is the phrase that Matthew used. The only one that used this term of the Gospels. I don't think I found it in any of the other Gospels. Mark, Luke, and John did not use the kingdom of heaven. They used the kingdom of God. And so so just an interesting note there. It's the only one, Matthew being the only one that used this term, he used it in 32 verses. And 8 of these times are in chapter 13, which will end there, but we'll have a little bit of a roundabout way to get there in Matthew 13 then. But in Matthew, he used the kingdom of heaven. This is how he termed it. So you can think of verses about how this phrase is used. I'm sure you can think of those verses. We'll be reading some. One, for an example, is Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he used that phrase multiple times. And we'll read a number of them throughout this message here this morning. The next phrase is the kingdom of God, which we stated. Matthew does use it 5 times. It's in the entirety of the New Testament 76 times, 54 times or 55 times in the Gospels. It's mostly used in Luke, and that's where Luke comes in. He uses it 32 times in his writings. It's the kingdom of God. So you have Matthew using the kingdom of heaven, and in those similar verses, Luke is using the kingdom of God. So they're interchanging them things in the same accounts in Scripture. Then there's 22 times in the rest of the epistles. One example is Luke 12:31 there. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I have a familiar verse there that has that in it. And I started looking at how else this is used, about this kingdom. So you have, we find it one time as this way, stated this way in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 11, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's in 2 Peter there. Then we also have the gospel of the kingdom. This is 5 times in Scripture that I found, and they're all in Matthew and Mark. I'm not even sure which one's more. I think Matthew has 3 and Mark has 2, or vice versa. I'm not sure there. But it's always in the context of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Stated in Scripture is always in the context of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. There are numerous other uses of the gospel by itself in the New Testament, I think close to 100 times. And I think the majority of that time is in the context. You find them a lot in the epistles where there's a preaching. It's in the context, again, of preaching. So Romans 10:15 has this verse. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel is twice there. To them that preach the gospel is the same as the bring glad tidings there in that particular verse. On the gospel of the kingdom, also, Mark 1:15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Speaking about the gospel of the kingdom. Which brings us to the second part of this kind of an introduction thing. The gospel of the kingdom. We could elaborate in any one of these, you know, there's just a lot on the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This gospel is good news. You can term it good message or glad tidings. You know, we have John the Baptist preaching the gospel. We have Jesus preaching the gospel. We have the disciples, when they were sent out two by two, they were sent out to preach the gospel. And then through the epistles, those all were preaching the gospel. They were out to preach the good news of the kingdom. And there was a good message that needed to go out. There was something to be said. It wasn't just idle words. There were glad tidings for all the people to hear. A message these people were convinced that this was the only way to God. So much so that it gripped their hearts and it was part of them. They were people that were such that believed that they had the answer that the people needed. They went about proclaiming and preaching that the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. This was the thrust of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To deliver mankind from their selfish and sinful ways. And bring redemption to the lost humanity. By the power of His sacrificial blood on Calvary. What greater message was there for all the world? I mean, this message was so glorious. This message is so glorious that God sent a multitude of angels to enter, to bring its entrance. And the most of humanity was sleeping and missed it. And it seems like today we still have the same outcome. Many are sleeping and missing it. The good news of the kingdom. So we have a gospel. We have a message. We have a good message. And that there is a kingdom that's stated. So it's a message of a kingdom. So we get from this that there is a kingdom. And then so in order for there to be a kingdom, there must be a king. These are elementary things here. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, He is the King. And a king typically has laws to abide by, commandments. Then there must be subjects or servants to obey the laws, his children in his kingdom. And if any of these are missing, you will have a hard time having a kingdom stand. If there is no king, we could go back to Judges, which every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We have that in Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we know that there was just a rise and a fall, 40 years down, 40 years up, or however it was there. Just go read through the Judges, and they're just it's a roller coaster. There was no king in Israel, and every man, there was sometimes someone would rise up and be a judge, but there was no king. There was no one to set things in order, so to speak. So that looks like to us like mass confusion. So we know it doesn't work, seemingly to not have a king or someone to lead out. A kingdom will not stand without a king. So in a kingdom, there must be laws to abide by. In a kingdom, there must be direction given. What is expected? We could go to John 8 for just an example, and hopefully this won't take us on too much of a rabbit trail. John 8, we have the account of the woman taken in adultery. We're talking about laws in a kingdom. So we have the scribes and the Pharisees, and I would say that these were the teachers of the law, and so they knew the law. They knew what it was expected. There was everything was clear in their minds what was stated. So they brought this woman that was taken in adultery. Not only was she taken in adultery, she was caught in the very act. And everybody present knew what was to come of that situation. They knew what the laws were. They knew that her judgment was death. But they wanted to see what Jesus said. They all knew that. They knew the law of the land. They caught in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us. They brought her there and said, you know, she should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They were tempting him. Jesus standing there in all the wisdom of God. He that is without sin, you throw the first stone. He stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard of it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. Beginning from the eldest to the last. Jesus looked at the woman and said, "Woman, where are they in accusers? What happened to him?" I said, "Lord, there's none." He's the King of mercy. There's tremendous mercy exampled in that situation. He said, "Woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Jesus asked, there's a requirement there. Not only was there a tremendous release, there's forgiveness, but there was a requirement. Don't continue to do what you were doing. Whatever you were doing needs to stop. Laws. Talking about laws in a kingdom. They all knew them. They all knew them. But they came with their swords ready. Their stones ready. They were ready to throw stones. They were ready to criticize and condemn rather than redeem the situation. They were there with swords drawn, ready to throw stones at a moment's notice. Again, Jesus, all right. He that is without sin, let him cast the first one. There's mercy there. In this particular kingdom, there was mercy. And Jesus was establishing a kingdom. And the kingdom that he was in there, they all knew the laws. They were fully aware of them. And you can't have a kingdom stand where everyone does that whatever they please. There must be guidelines in order for it to perpetuate. There must be guidelines in order for a kingdom to perpetuate, meaning to continue. Also in a kingdom, there's going to be subjects or servants. What kind of kingdom is it if the subjects and servants do not obey the king? What kind of a kingdom do we want to be part of, even here this morning, as we think of the kingdom of heaven? You know, we could have a kingdom, join a kingdom like they have in the communist countries. People are forced to comply or executed or imprisoned if they don't. Or do we want to be a part of a kingdom of the people, for the people, by the people? So we have it in this country. Everything that the ruling administration does is silly and so wrong and whatever else. And we hear those things. We hear those conversations. Trust we're not part of them. But in a way, that kind of an attitude is saying that if I was in control, if I was the king, or if I was the president, the ruling administrator, things would go so much better. How long will a kingdom stand with its subjects like that? So in order to have a kingdom stand or go on, its subjects or servants must be willing to follow the laws of the king. So in these phrases, the kingdom of heaven, we have heaven. So this is a kingdom. We have the gospel of a kingdom. We have the good news of a kingdom. And it's identified as heaven. And so who is the king of this kingdom? So Jesus Christ, or the God of heaven. So we identify the God of heaven, the only true God which made heaven and earth, which means it is an eternal or an everlasting kingdom. Eternal kingdom. Everlasting kingdom. So I'll read a few verses there from Daniel to 2 Peter. Daniel 4:34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, establishing that the kingdom of heaven is an everlasting kingdom. It is a kingdom from generation to generation. It is eternal. Daniel 7:14, there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7:27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. And in 2 Peter, we read this verse already. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven. We understand that there is an entering in or even being able to see the kingdom of heaven, identifies what type of kingdom it is. It's a kingdom of heaven. So in Matthew 6, we have the Lord's Prayer. You all know that. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, we think of heaven, and it's the place to be, right? We want to go to heaven. And, you know, there's much said about heaven, and I'm sure it'll be more glorious than we can ever imagine or think. But it says Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So should in the kingdom of heaven, here on earth, should it have its identity in the heavenly as in the heavenly realm, or should there be some similarities? Should there be some identity? Can there be some going back and forth? Is it going to look same as the kingdom of here on earth as it is in heaven? So there must be some similarities as heaven. If this is the kingdom of heaven, there must be some similarities as heaven. God designed it so that the kingdom of grace should resemble the kingdom of glory above. How can this be? So the more that the life of Christ is transformed in us, as we heard in the opening, the more, together, we display God's kingdom here below, which means a constant growing in grace. Just on the way to church here this morning, you know, I knew some of these words were written down here, and we had a discussion on the way here, and somebody was saying about a tree, about the trees. You know, if you take a piece of wood and try to preserve that piece of wood, I mean, I don't know if you'd overlay it with gold and how long you can preserve a piece of wood before it starts to rot. But eventually it'll rot, probably. Unless you can, I don't know what you would do with it. There's maybe it's the sequoias, that last for a long time. But I think they eventually decay too. But think of something that grows. Think of an old oak down at the bottom. This grows. There's life in there. When there's life in it, that's the best way to preserve something. And so it is with you and I. As long as we're growing in grace, as it calls there in 2 Peter, growing in grace, there's life. There's blood flow. There's potential. There's a growing. There's a preserving. And I believe God designed that the kingdom of grace, as it's passed from generation to generation, as faith is perpetual, it continues to multiply. It continues to go out. And God's kingdom can continue to be enlarged. So in order to enter in, there has to be, we heard about being born again and conversion. It's a blessing. In John 3:3-7. Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So we have two things here. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again before you can even see the kingdom of God. So before that, there's a blindness in part. 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So there must be, this must happen to see and to even enter into the kingdom. And also that there's the verses that state Matthew 3:2. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I appreciate what Brother Joe said there, about the repentance. Now, when I use that term, there's more to me, in my mind, there's more to repentance than just, oh, repenting for 13 years, and then what? You know, we sometimes hear that he's been, you can always be repenting, and that's good, but there's more than just mentioned here, or that it's referenced here. But this is what it says. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is present. So the preaching of the gospel of the news, the first thing that went out was the repent, which means you need to turn from whatever you were doing. You need to, there's that whole transformation that needs to take place. You don't just adjust your ways a little bit. You don't tack on Jesus Christ to your life a little bit. There's a whole 180 turn. You quit going that way. You quit doing the things that you were, and you turn around and you go the other way, and there's a total transformation of one's life that displays that Christ does live within. John the Baptist preached that repentance. Jesus did. Jesus sent out his disciples. They preached repentance. The gospel through all the epistles was repent and believe the gospel. That was all there. And so this had to happen. There had to be a recognizing that my life needs to die. And before this repenting happened, there was no entering in or even seeing the kingdom. So from the beginning, our attitude must be that of repentance, willing to forgive and ask for forgiveness. Okay, so in the kingdom of heaven, there has to be a first an entrance. Then there is a will that is lived out continually in God's kingdom. So if there's a will that is lived out, whose will is it? It's God's will. That must be lived out in our lives. So in his word, we find his will by the commandments. So we must learn to know its precepts and laws and commandments. We must know what his will is for us. And we can read them. And Jesus said, "My commandments are not grievous. They are healing, welcoming. They're encouraging, they're strengthening." Luke 16:16 says, "The law and the prophets were until John." There's a colon. "Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." Every man crowds oneself into it. It's kind of a force that takes place. There's a pressing in. Means to crowd oneself. So from the law and the prophets until John, that's what that was there. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses himself into it. Luke 17:21, "Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." We don't look for a kingdom like some of the disciples got caught up into this. When are you going to establish your kingdom? They were still thinking the physical kingdom here on earth, and we're going to be, okay, which one is going to be on your right hand? Or which one's going to sit in your left hand, Jesus? Is it one of us? Which one of us it will be? No, they kind of missed it there. It's not going to be like the Gentiles. This is a different kingdom. kingdom of God is within you. Holy Spirit making its home in us. What kind of a picture is this? What does this look like here in 2023? How does this kingdom, is this kingdom, are we able to see it? Are we able to identify? Not only identify with the kingdom, with that, but am I identified in that? Is Christ seen in me? Everything that I do and say, does it look like the life of Christ? Jesus Christ never saved the soul which He did not govern. Is Christ able to govern you and I? Do I depict the kingdom of God? Or we could ask the question, how do I depict it? There must be a living out, a continuance, a constant growing. He that stole, steal no more. There's a transformation. There's something happened in the heart. We don't do the things we used to do. There's a change. There's something took place. Jesus Christ never saved a soul which He did not govern. That's quite an indictment. The kingdom of heaven. What is this kingdom like? This is under the last portion that we have here, which we can turn back to, or we can turn to Matthew 13. Before we go there, talking about continuance, there's the walking out, continue walking because of He who called us, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. And Revelation 17:17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will. God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast and unto the words of God shall be fulfilled. Also in Romans 14:17, what is this kingdom like? You know, this is a familiar verse for us. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And also James 3:17 depicts how this wisdom or this kingdom should look like. Some ingredients. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Wisdom from above. Heavenly kingdom. It seems like these are very good ingredients of the kingdom of heaven. So let's turn to Matthew 13. You're there already, and I'm not. Matthew 13. There's three things I want to get out of this chapter. Remember that we had told that Matthew used the kingdom of heaven. Luke used the kingdom of God. But here we have the kingdom of heaven. And there's some parables here. Jesus chose to speak in parables because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, heaven, but to them it is not given. That's why He spoke in parables. And so we have multiple parables in this chapter here, and it's speaks and it says in front of most of them, or a lot of them, it says, and the kingdom of heaven is like. So we can get to see a little bit how the kingdom of heaven is like in these parables, or from these parables. Number one, there's three things that we want to pull from this chapter. and I don't think we'll read it. Number one, it's something that grows. Okay. Number two, it's something of great value or eternal worth. And three, it's something of continuation or judgment or sifting. So first of all, we have something that grows. We have a mustard seed. First of all, we have a sower that went forth to sow. And so he was planting seed. And what happens when he puts seed in the ground? They typically grow. Good seed grows. And so it's something that matures and grows and brings forth fruit. As we have in verse 23, some 30, 60, and 100. Or vice versa, 100, 60, and 30, it says there. And also we have a mustard seed. Same thing. It's a little seed, but it grows. It have the picture of it's growing. Again, then also in verse 33, 11, I think, I didn't search this out, but I think this is the only place in Scripture that leaven is in a positive sense. Positive sense meaning the way leaven works, it goes throughout the whole. When you put something, a leaven in dough, the yeast, it leavens the whole lump. And so in that way, the gospel comes into, we can use it as an individual thing, where it comes into maybe a small part of us and just encapsulates our every entire being. Or it goes into, that starts going into the world and starts going out and reaching across. And that's what the gospel of the kingdom, what God wants from His people is to go out and preach the word. Why? So that there's others that could be affected by it. And they too come to have a personal Savior with Jesus Christ. It says, go ye in all the worlds. Doing what? Teaching and preaching. Baptizing and what it says there in Matthew 28. So it's something that grows. So from these we have a sower going forth to sow. So we have seed. They grow, they mature, and bear fruit. Mustard seed grows big, solid, will stand the test of many things. 2 Peter 3:18, we referenced that, growing in the grace and the knowledge of God. There's a growing that must happen in the kingdom. Leaven also grows throughout the whole. Matthew 13:33. Again, leaven, the verse of 11, it's stating that this gospel grows in us until every atom of our being beats for its cause, for His cause, until the entirety of our being bears the heavenly image, and not only us, but that it should reach all corners of the world. And this next one here, something of great value, is what started me on this little journey. And these things are some things that I've been pondering in my own heart. It's like Brother Joe stated that of his ponderings there. We have something of great value. We have two of them that speak of something of great price and a treasure. So verse 44, we have, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. That which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. We'll just read 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So here, we have some similar things. We have someone that sees something of value and then he goes and sells all that he has to buy that because he places tremendous value upon it. So the way verse 44 is written, I'm not saying that the scribes did it wrong, but in my limited understanding, I don't think I was getting it. I was thinking of at the end of the rainbow, there's a pot of gold. There's a pot of gold hid in the field. And somehow he knew it was there, and so he goes and buys that piece. Well, that doesn't make sense. Why didn't he just go at night and dig up the pot of gold and leave so that he wouldn't have to buy the land? But it's more than a pot of gold. Think of a gold mine on that property. A never-ending mine of gold. What kind of value do we place? Upon this salvation. Is it that kind of a is it that precious to us? Is it of that much value to us? That we would sell all that we have for this? Imagine with me. There's a gold mine in the back 40 on 300. No, there's not, but just imagine. And somehow we stumbled across a hole there, or maybe somewhere else. I don't know where it would be. And we sell all that we have because we found something of great value. And we buy that land. And we start digging gold. Do you think words are going to come out? Do you think anybody else is going to find out what you did? Do you think you're going to value enough to tell others about it? Are we really convinced that that's what others need? How does this look like in my life? Have we really sold out? What is the gospel really worth to me? You know, is this really dear to us? What must God do yet for us that He has not yet done? Where must He measure up yet in our minds that He hasn't done yet for me? Has He done enough for me that I'm going to choose to follow Him with my whole life and put my all on the altar? What is man that thou art mindful of him? The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had, and a merchant with goodly pearls, who when he found the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. There's also something of judgment here in these parables. We have the wheat and the tares. And we have a large net. There will be a sifting and a sorting. Don't doubt it. You know, we hear a lot of preaching. We hear a lot of teaching. We have access to message after message. I wonder if our hearts are just growing calloused from all this. We endure Sunday and then we go on. The wheat and the tares. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. Therefore the tares are gathered together and burned in the fire. Gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What seed? So it's important what seed we are and where our influences come from in our lives. We know that not all that say Lord, Lord will enter. And we have verses in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, Galatians 5:21, Ephesians 5, verse 5, stating who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And in 2 Corinthians 4:3, it states that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. So as we think of the kingdom of heaven, may we view it as much value. First of all, in our own lives. If we're not convinced here, we're not convinced that it's for others either. We're just not. And may we continue to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And not be afraid. Not be afraid of others. Not be ashamed of it. But continue to be not bold, but not arrogant, to speak the things that what God has done for us. And see the tremendous value in that. God wants His kingdom to be identified here on earth. There's a kingdom of heaven, we understand that. But He wants a kingdom, He wants His people to be recognized here on earth as they resemble His image. Is Jesus able to govern our lives? Is He able to have full control? And he that endures to the end will be safe. I had Matthew 5:19 and here too. I don't know that it's needful to read it anymore, but we'll just close with this. Thinking of the kingdom of heaven, His kingdom here on earth. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. So can we make much of the kingdom of heaven as we go forth?